I got no objections.
Okay. Well, whispering a chant of button over and over again does not count as yelling at me. So I'm going to assume that I now get to say, hello and welcome to Cause and Effect. This is a homebrew Dungeons & Dragons campaign that is still going, like 2 years after I said it was going to end. Because there's more that I wanted to do. My name is Crash. I'll be your DM for the evening tonight. I'm joined by a bunch of awesome people and my inability to words. This includes, the inability to words does not include, but the awesome people include Ellie and Beth and Io. And I said that while not looking in Discord, so I hope I didn't forget any of the three people who are here.
I think the inability to words does include Io.
And probably me. Although I did get enough sleep last night for a change, I think, mostly.
Depending on how you parse it, you're right. But in this particular case, I was referring to my inability to words. And you are not within my inability to words. I would be very confused if that happened. And I don't really want to think about that. And the implications thereof. So, who knows what happened last time?
People tried to kidnap A! Kobold brains in juror bodies tried to kidnap A, presumably to turn A into a brainwashed juror creature that would have to then fight us, which would suck.
I mean, the brainwashing sounds like it'd be a good idea. You'd want it to be sterile when they put you in one of those things. You don't want to get an infection.
That too. No, I mean the part where they put in the forcing you to obey Sclerora's orders.
Well, what's her name? The dwarf.
Right. She had to obey the orders.
She
had some flexibility.
Well, she could say whatever she wanted. Angle Grinding Stone was her name, I think. She could say whatever she wanted. She just didn't have a choice in whether or not she followed the orders.
Exactly.
So I don't think that counts as brainwashed.
Okay, Governor Module.
Restraining
bolt. It's important to note that she could do things that were not in direct contradiction with the orders. For example, I could convince her to step over and look at a beautiful skyline.
I remember that.
And then study the effects of gravity on a floating tower.
Yes, that was interesting as well.
So, to recap, now that we've covered what you believe is the most important thing. The party acquired adamantine inertial dampers, magical rings designed by a Cogbucket Jr. from the future and sent back in time in the crystalline brain of PT, a warforge created specifically to send timed messages to the present era. The rings were not without glitches, which is why they did not see mass production in the future. It was during testing in an arena on the outskirts of the city that the kobolds turned protojurors Zed and X made a return. Zed had realized that A was a member of the party and decided to take them back into the new upgraded Lost Eye clan. No one else liked this plan, and aggressive negotiation continued until Tex tossed Darren's instant fortress into the field of combat, encasing A in an adamantine fortress that now has a bonus A-shaped window partway up the first floor. Afterwards, it was revealed that a third protojuror had been sent to incapacitate Bindle Brightlight to prevent her from engaging any arena failsafes. And this is not something that I said during the last session. This is being revealed between then and now.
Hey, wait a minute. We're not allowed to learn new things during the recap.
I mean, it probably segued straight from recap into, record scratch, this is how we got here. Backstory, something.
Well, you get this information because Bindle is furious, and you're in her...
But not dead?
Not dead. You are meeting in her, laboratory area, and she is pacing back and forth. Kronk is there, occasionally moving things out of the way as Bindle paces without looking where she's going, and then putting them back when she goes past. Kronk seems to be doing pretty well, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Glad that Kronk is adapting to their situation.
Having robotic arms and legs after being brainwashed to minus the attack things. And recovering from that because you did not kill Kronk. You have a habit of not doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to roleplay out Bindle's ranting because I don't have the spoons to do that this evening, unfortunately. Although I imagine it'd be very fun to do so. But what you were able to gather in the midst of everything is Bindle is not just angry that a proto-juror showed up in the middle of testing, picked her up, and held her at arm's length away from all the controls so she couldn't activate any fail-safes to, you know, stop the attacking or even stop the combat robots that you were supposed to be fighting for the test that kept attacking you afterwards.
Yeah, they were piddly.
Yes, they were, because it wasn't meant to be a fatal test. It was just a test. It was only a test. Mm-hmm. Everything changed when the Proto-Juror Nation attacked.
Wouldn't that be the Lost Eye Nation?
This too. They are a wholly owned subsidiary at this time.
Right.
There was a merger. It wasn't a hostile takeover, though.
Although that's a problem.
They are pretty hostile now, but towards outside influences. Well, that was very frustrating and very annoying, but the proto-juror that was sent to do this was the aforementioned Angle Grindingstone.
Ah.
Her friends call her Angie. They had a delightful conversation.
That's what I was about to say. Did she say anything?
Well, yes, because she has, Ellie has found a gif of somebody doing repeated kicks and not actually connecting and then getting punched in the face. Okay. Wrestling, everyone. So, with that said, as already discussed, Angie has full autonomy when it comes to what Angie is saying. But when she's told to do a thing, she has to do the thing. When she isn't told to do a thing, then she has some leeway. She was told to incapacitate Bindle so that X and Z could carry out their mission. She interpreted incapacitate with keep away from the controls. And in doing so, was able to have a conversation with Bindle and spill as much tea as she could. Yes. Some of it.
It's always good when people spill the tea, lovely gossip, you know, have a nice tea. Never mind.
Yes. A lot of it was, you know, already known. Zed had reformed the Lost Eye Clan with additional followers and then somehow got in contact with Sclerora and made a deal where they all become proto-jurors, which are way more powerful than lowly kobolds. Hey! Well, let's face it, that's pretty much true for a lot of kobolds. You don't have to say it. A, you're breaking the fourth wall again.
That's what rogues are supposed to do. Good going, A.
I have psychic powers. You gave them to me. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're going to set those aside for now. I'm trying to give exposition. Is that that guy whose name is Basil? No, that's a different thing. But some of it was more schematic based. And so Bindle, having provided you with the backstory, which ended up becoming a long-winded rant, as it tends to do, has created some weapon prototypes that might be able to be a bit more effective against proto-jurors and, quite frankly, anything that is made of or empowered by Sclora's nanite technology. Because the lack of autonomy, when Zed and X were encountered, they might have had the same safeguards in place, but they were willing to do all that stuff. They weren't fighting anything. Angie, however, was taken 100% against her will. And Bindle hates this. So Bindle wants to do something about it. Also, your spray bottles have not been as effective as they're supposed to be. Now, part of this is luck of the draw. If you had, if Hobby had managed to score a hit with a spray bottle last session, it would have been highly effective because you'd put a great big dagger-sized hole in the front of X.
Yes.
Then you missed your mark. But
sadly true. I would have gone for it another round probably, but I had to go run to get to A and possibly do lay on hands, but Cavill got there first, to speak.
Certainly. But what if the spray bottle was its own piercing weapon?
Now that seems nice.
Yeah. And what if it was a ranged attack? So
could be useful.
Bindle has created some javelin and dart prototypes that they're very fragile, but they contain collections of anti-nanites within them. So when you throw them, if you score a hit, it injects their anti-nanite payload into the target.
Boarding anti-nanites.
Something like that. Now, in addition to that, it also duplicates some of the abilities of everyone's favorite spell, glittering prizes. I mean, space glitter. I mean, it's guiding glitter. I don't, whatever its name is. Bindle's not a cleric. She doesn't remember. But she remembers it providing, you know, it makes the target sparkly and therefore easier to hit because everyone hates glitter.
Mm.
That's not the actual mechanics of it, but that's what Bindle's leading hypothesis is. Augmentites sometimes think outside the box.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes that box is an extra-dimensional space, and thinking outside of it is wise, because if you get into the extra-dimensional space and you have a bag of holding, well, then you're in the astral plane again.
Oops.
Yes. Bindle has not been to the astral plane. It does not intend to start.
Fair.
Yes.
Very fair.
With that said, it does make the person who's been hit glow with an internal yellow light that does, in fact, give advantage on the next attack against them. It also does some other nifty things, which I shared in the chat earlier. So, whichever weapon you're using, the javelin or the dart, is used like a javelin or a dart, so you can pick either 3 javelins or 6 darts to be put into your inventory, and I'll be asking you what you want in a little bit. If it hits a being made from or empowered by nanites, it pierces the being and injects its anti-nanites contained within. This causes several things to occur. 1, damage should be rolled as if a critical hit occurred, even if it was not a critical hit. Now, it doesn't count as a critical hit. We just roll damage like it was. So we're not activating things that activate on a critical hit. The next attack against the being affected should be rolled with advantage. And until the end of the affected being's next turn, a yellow glow leaks out from the wound. It is unable to hide or teleport until this effect ends. And this ends at the end of their next turn. So they can't do an ability at the start of their turn or during their turn to teleport out. Bindle had heard this was a bit of a problem with Zed and X deciding to leave whenever they felt like it. And decided to add some type of stabilization field in with the anti-nanites to tell them, no, sit, stay. And in addition, their movement speed is reduced by half. Attacks with this weapon that miss still cause it to shatter, spilling the anti-nanites over a 5-foot diameter space. Ground covered by anti-nanites are difficult terrain for beings that are made from or empowered by nanites, and if knocked prone in that area, they will take damage immediately from the nanites basically trying to eat their face. This ignores resistances and immunities. So I didn't say what kind of damage it is. It's nanite damage. They don't have immunity to that. This damage will repeat at the end of their next turn if they are still prone in the anti-nanite area. If used on a being not made from or empowered by nanites, damage resolves normally as it would for a javelin or a dart, and none of the special effects occur. You have a bonus to attack and damage rolls because it's also a +2 weapon. Ellie has found an animal called a javelina, apparently. It looks like it's related to a baby warthog.
Or a pig, kind of.
They're baby fuzzy. Warthogs are specifically cute because they get zoomies. And you can't see them very clearly. They're just tiny little fuzzy blurs.
Zoom, zoom!
Yes. And there's a lot of stuff that's been posted in the chat, and I am trying very hard to not get distracted too much by it.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I can't complain about it considering how much I do it myself.
How can I tell if something needs attunements?
I'm going to agree with what Ellie has said in the chat there with the accompanying emojis. Right. So the question is, now Bindle regrets to inform Tex that she believes it is unethical to inject anti-nanites into a javelina, even if she could get her hands on one, which is a shame. And she has enough of the latest batch of anti-nanites, which have been concocted using samples that were harvested after their most recent battle, because there was damage done. So there were debris in the field of battle that could be analyzed. She has enough that she can give each of you 3 javelins loaded with the anti-nanites or 6 darts loaded with the anti-nanites. And then she's out until sometime later. She's got to work on it.
Darts, please.
Until the next time we take a long rest. Weird how that works.
Well, it depends. Are you going to take the long rest right now? Because if you are, the answer is going to be no. It doesn't work like that. You can't just go into a potion shop, buy all the potions, then go outside and stand there for the full day, then walk back in and expect there to be more potions. Why do people keep doing that? We had to put up signs.
What if I fast travel to another town and then come back?
That's called teleportation, and Member Services is willing to do that. We've had that conversation, but it doesn't make time move forward the same way you think it does, apparently.
Well, I don't understand anything about how this time period works then.
Well, we broke EO. Mission accomplished, everyone. We can go home.
But we are home.
Oh, wait. You're right. Okay. I have given you 1 dart, and now I'm going to increase that to 6.
What is everyone yourself. Else? I'm in a crowded movie theater. The gain control on this microphone is really good.
Every now and then we hear a boom during the trailers.
Crash, how do I make it think that my original class is not Paladin?
I have no idea.
Oh, that was a thing that I think I had to manually modify my stuff, like my saving throws.
Mm-hmm.
Because it decided that I got all the Paladin saving throws as well as the fighter saving throws.
Yeah,
and I had to go in and manually modify
the D&D Beyond importer mod that I use to get the content that I paid for twice already into Foundry. Doesn't do a one-to-one conversion, and there's things that are being worked on that should be effective before the end of the year, according to the guy who's developing it. But he just had a kid.
Whoops.
So I am happy that the changes are happening as fast as they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. So I am going to assume that Tex would like the javelins.
Yes. Tex actually already had javelins, but I don't see them on my sheet.
It's possible you've thrown them. It's been a few years of playing this game.
It's true.
All right. Cavil, what would you like?
Well, my dexterity is slightly higher than my strength, so probably darts.
Well, they're both ranged weapons. I think they both can use dexterity.
Oh, I thought javelins always used strength.
I did not think so.
I know they can.
Well, I have no problem giving you the darts. The main effectiveness of them is not how much damage they do themselves.
Yeah.
It's that they allow you to use the Glittering Prizes cheat code, therefore giving you more gold in Warcraft 2.
No.
I appreciate how wrong I can be about Guiding Bolt. And I'm going to give A 6 darts as well. And Jen is unable to be here this evening, but I am going to give Mech 3 javelins. There we go.
Hoppy would like the darts if I didn't say so.
Yep. Already. I gave you yours first.
Oh, okay.
Yay. Everyone is armed. You are fully armed and operational. A, put those down.
There's an anti-nanite darts.
What? I've got 4 arms. Yes, you do, but not 4 arms. Put those down. Those aren't yours.
Do not wave around the mannequin arms.
Okay.
For the record, yes, because a javelin can be used as a melee weapon and it doesn't have the finesse property, it uses strength.
Okay. I learned a thing. Just in time for us to end this campaign so I don't have to worry about D&D again. It's not ending that quickly.
No.
Skellora shows up. You throw a dart at her forehead. Campaign over.
I didn't think Plus Ultra was going to end that quickly either.
We speed ran the last
part. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you still had two more episodes, didn't you?
I was kind of scrambling
at the end there.
If you end this campaign today, I'm going to be very shocked and surprised. This arc, I expect to last more than one session. It still might end today, but I expect to last more than one session. Because banter. I haven't even given you the quest yet. Normally, after you finish one thing, there's an intermission, and then you are given the next thing. That hasn't happened. You finished the one thing, then immediately went to testing magical rings, which went well, depending on your definition of well.
They seemed to work.
The rings seemed to work. There was a bit of a glitch. A did not 100% appreciate the glitch, but there was a bit of a glitch that turned A into a magnet and had them fly across the combat field and smack into a combat dummy.
But at least it wasn't too far, only about 10 or 15 feet.
But after getting your darts and javelins, it feels weird to say javelins. I feel like there should be a fancier plural version.
No, javelin. Javelin. Yes, javelin.
Biblically accurate javelin.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's a porcupine.
You know, I think a biblically accurate javelin happened at the end of the last campaign, by which I mean I'm pretty sure that's how Ryan flavored a spell that they cast against the god whose name does not want to be in my brain right now.
I was just looking at my notes from that campaign, too, and Angora? I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But in any case, this time, when you are coming back from the Ogmanite Enclave, which you don't need to call member services to teleport, it's in town, you can walk. They will teleport you if you ask nicely to from one part of the city to another part of the city, but they'll do so while judging you.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily silently judging you. Especially if it's one of the days where Mo decides that he's going to sit in on member services just to keep fresh. I have to keep up my people skills, after all. Oh, hello.
Absolutely judges everyone.
Member services, how do you intend to misuse our resources today? Oh, you're that incompetent. Well, we can help you. Don't you worry. That's okay. Might I recommend several training brochures? They're in the rack by the main entrance. Of course, you wouldn't know they're there. You always teleport in and out. It's fine. It's fine. I know we do provide these services to be used. But, you know, cardio is very useful. What's that? Oh, you are currently being eaten by a Gru. That's why you want to teleport. Fine. Fine. I didn't even know we had those in our sewers. Oh, you're in the Ogmanite Enclave. Oh, this makes way more sense. Never mind.
I mean, we might want to consider having them teleport A around, because A should be kept in safe locations.
As you go questing, A is permanently trapped in an adamantine box.
No, we just need to
make sure
the lock's
on the inside. A can come out. There's a composting
toilet
in here. I'm fine. The box gets knocked over. You hear an, oh no.
We have to make sure that A is wearing, like, anti-teleport gear at all times. No teleporting the A.
Well, when you return to Flag Headquarters...
On the way home, I'll type it in chat. Please, continue.
Okay. Well, when you return to Flag Headquarters, you don't get to the Quest Hub Bar and Grill, where you get to see what quests are available and select your next mission. Instead, you are asked to see someone pertinent to your interests in one of the office spaces. Oh, that is wonderful, okay. Ellie. Though you should have interrupted me for that. On the way home, yes, you definitely do stop at a candy shop and drop a few gold on making it free candy day for the kids. I love that. The shopkeep that's there doesn't seem too enthused, but they don't seem really enthused about everything after the baby tiefling incident.
Also, all the alternate versions of themselves in their head are just so distracting.
I'm going to say this here. There is only one Kevin on Flotsam Island.
Yeah, he's moonlighting.
You broke the GM. The GM is laughing. Does that mean that...
Yes, you get another luck point. Go ahead and add one luck point to your character sheet. I'm fairly certain that doesn't bring you to 5. No, that should bring you to 4. So
I thought Tex used to...
Tex has been using them a lot, but Tex has been earning them a lot.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so... So you are escorted to a side office, and in that room, member services escorts you, then lets you in and closes the door behind them. They don't stay, but in that room, there's enough chairs for all of you. There is a table that fills most of the space. There is an imposing looking dragonborn with robes, and imagine, if you will, the camera pans across to empty space, and then swooshes down quick to show an elderly kobold wearing glasses that appear to be 2 inches thick. The glass looks like it's 2 inches thick.
Oh.
And they have a book in front of them, but you're not sure that they know the book is in front of them, even with these glasses.
Oh.
The dragonborn taps the kobold on the shoulder and says, "Master Thumbcrush, they're here."
"What? What? Oh, sorry. I was having a lovely nap." "Right. Okay. Who's here?"
"The ragtag band of adventurers, Master Thumbcrush."
"Oh, well, wonderful. I suppose you're wondering why I've called you here today. Why have I called you here today?"
"Job?"
"It's about the book, Master Thumbcrush."
"Oh, yes, the book."
Thumbcrush reaches out to where the book is not. And just as the hand is coming down onto the table, the dragonborn pushes the book over so that the hand lands on top of it anyway.
Aww.
"Right. So this book here is relevant to your interests, I've been told. It was part of another quest, but, some mistakes were made. But before we go further, introductions should be had. I am Torrent Thumbcrush."
"Bow."
"You haven't heard of me, have you?"
"In fairness, I haven't heard of most people."
"Right."
"Fair and valid. I didn't hear about any of you until yesterday, so."
"See?"
"Mm-hmm. Which is amazing, considering how many Ogmanites know about you."
"I didn't think that many Ogmanites knew about us."
"Oh, word's been making rounds."
"I have been over to help them quite a bit."
"That's true."
"And your cohort as a group has done a lot of assistance. After all, the main reason they've got power right now is because of you all."
"Oh, well, yeah, that."
"And as a cleric of Ogma and head librarian of the Idano branch of the Great Library of Ogma, I thank you."
"Bow."
"Welcome."
Hoppy bows in appreciation.
"And this imposing figure over here," and Torrent points in the wrong direction.
The dragonborn is behind Torrent Thumbcrush's right side. Torrent points to the left.
"Is Bookworm." "Yes, that's actually his name."
"These things, they happen."
"Technically, it's a nickname, but it's stuck and it's accurate. I am something of a book enthusiast."
"Salute."
"Well, and then there is the third member of our little group."
"Third?"
"Yes. What, he's not here?"
"Open."
Hoppy looks around.
"The book is closed, Master Thumbcrush."
Oh, silly me."
Thumbcrush opens the book, and a wisp of smoke rises from the pages. It gets thicker and thicker and thicker, and coalesces to the side of the table into a rather large blue humanoid figure with an impressive beard.
"Hmm. And this is where we should possibly take a small pause because we have lost the EO's headphones."
"Uh-oh. Well, we've been playing for about 40 minutes, so that makes sense." All right, we're back. And this large figure who, on a map, would take up four squares, not one square, looks around the room, then bows to all of you and says, "Greetings, I am Ghazra Azam, Jinn, at your service. Or rather, I would be, if I wasn't trapped in this accursed book."
"My, you're a tall one."
"I get that a lot."
"Normally, yes, Tex gets it."
"I also get that a lot."
"For the record, I'm going to say that the two of you are at eye level to each other."
"That's fair."
Ghazra Azam is just also wider, and the word circumference comes to mind when describing Ghazra Azam's build.
"Hefty."
"Yes." "Yeah. Well, quite recently, we had this book donated to the library, and we thought that was nice. But, you know, we don't like having prisons donated to the library. So we thought, hey, this guy here doesn't want to be a tenant, and we don't want to be a landlord. Let's get the ragtag band of adventurers to take care of things."
"Okay, do we know how to free you from the book?"
"Certainly. All you need to do is to get the person who imprisoned me to say that I am free. Or to kill them. You could kill them. I don't mind you killing them."
"Who imprisoned?"
"Abby, I have a suspicion that I know the answer to that question."
"You think she can imprison people too?"
Torrent holds up
I
the book.
"I think she was a..."
Torrent holds up the book and points at the cover. Unfortunately, Torrent is holding the book upside down and is pointing to the back. However, you can see that the front of the book is also visible because it's being held open. Apparently, closing the book puts Ghazra Azam back in the book. And the book is called Zikrin's Zephyrian Tome. "Yes, my diminutive friend over here has it in a nutshell. The previous owner of the book, the one who penned this manuscript, and previously used it as a spell book until he removed the spells, is the one who imprisoned me here. But not at first, mind you. Previously, I was bound to his service, but had a lot more autonomy. Zikrin had this idea of recreating a flying cloud giant fortress to use for his own purposes. Being a being of elemental air, I happen to know a few things about, you know, magic and making things not necessarily pay attention to pesky gravity." At this point, Ghazra Azam points down to where his legs would be if he had any.
"He has wispy smoke."
"Yes. Well, I figured, well, this is going to be easy peasy. I'll provide a bunch of information. He gives me my freedom again, and I move on after doing something horrible to him later. But he didn't make any moves to free me after I'd given a lot of information. So I decided, you know, maybe I'm going to stop being so helpful. And as a reward for me not being as helpful, he put me in the darned book."
"Why were you going to do something terrible to him?"
"If someone enslaved you, would you be okay with them going on about their lives being very successful?"
"Got a point there."
"I'm glad we're on the same page. Oh my gosh, that was a book pun. Ah, this accursed book is ruining me.
I thought it was quite funny."
"You would." "Well, I have pretty much no powers here. If you close the book, I vanish again. Time pretty much stops for me. I'm unaware of my surroundings. I can't interact with anything."
"That sounds frustrating."
"It's very frustrating. And I went along with the ragtag band of adventurers that Torrent here hired, but they foolishly did not consult me nearly enough." "Well,
what happened?"
"If you encounter a lair that has all the earmarks of being home to a dragon, would you decide that violence was the first choice?"
"To the dragon?"
"To the bronze dragon."
"Oh, no. That seems rude."
Bookworm will pipe up and say, "I'm told the colloquial term for what happened was a TPK.
Do bronze dragons tend to eat what they kill?"
"It depends on how they're feeling. They prefer seafood." "Regardless, it would have been willing to have a conversation. Bronze dragons don't tend to be chomp first, ask questions later. Unless you run in and think the first thing you should do is cast Fireball. Especially when their prized hoard is a collection of books and manuscripts."
Oh, no, 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 no. Why would you even do that if you want to rob the dragon? You'll lose the books and manuscripts.
Well, I think we established they weren't very good adventurers.
I would love to tell you what they were thinking, but like I said, they didn't consult me. The last I talked with them, they were about to adventure into the cave system. That used to be Zikron's lair. It is not Zikron's lair anymore. As I said, it is now home to a bronze dragon, who we are quite fortunate, after looting the corpses, that they, opened this book, and I appeared immediately, but also on the inside cover is a, if found, return to, well, yada, yada, yada.
It sent me ascending almost immediately.
So you weren't even imprisoned in a book that belonged to the person who imprisoned you?
Oh, no, no, the book did belong to Zikron, but, they...
stole it from a library?
Oh, when it was donated to us by a different group of ragtag adventurers, every book that gets donated, we put that on the inside cover right away.
Oh, okay.
Just in case, Some people think that if it's a library book and they borrow it, borrow has a very nebulous return date. It doesn't. But people assume that.
And then you teleport the book home.
Well, that's one of the things we can do.
So we need to find the person who imprisoned you twice?
Oh, no, just the once. Well, they did make the prison cell worse. There was that. So I guess you could... No way to word this makes it sound better. Which is fine for listing their crimes, but not fine for describing my current situation. Well, Flag got contacted, and some representatives were sent over to collect their former members, ex-members, deceased members, as it were. But they also, had a delightful conversation with the dragon. Really, they're quite amenable to conversation, especially if you bring some things to add to their hoard, which Flag did once they learned that it liked to collect pretty books. Oh, for the record, in case you're wondering, the books are not necessarily sorted by color specifically, but they are arranged so that the colors do look nice aesthetically. There is a noticeable shudder from both Torrent and Bookworm.
So the dragon was collecting pretty books and not books to read from.
The dragon was collecting any books they could find, really.
Oh.
But here's the thing.
They weren't reading them?
Now we start to get to the point where you come in, because Zikron had a lot of research materials and equipment to move around, more than Zikron could feasibly move around at short notice, many of which was left there, because Zikron had to leave in a hurry. And I'm told you might know an entity who's been barging in on other people's research operations and meddling. Yes. This has all of those earmarks, I'm told. I've never met the person. I don't know who they are.
You probably don't want to.
Yes. Well, they are the reason why Zikron fled. And they did a good job covering their tracks, for the most part. Wherever they are right now is heavily warded against scrying, because scrying doesn't do anything to find them. However, they didn't leave slow enough to grab everything. And amongst the things that they left behind was a map with an area circled. Now,
but
the area circled was...
area?
The area that was circled, if you look at the scale of the map, was a good 100 square miles. So that doesn't really narrow it down too much. Unless you happen to know someone who was, against his will, being asked to help with his research on cloud giant cities. Flying cloud giant cities. And in that area, there was only really one known settlement. So, the mission, if you choose to accept it, is to use my information for how to get to where Zikron probably is. Get Zikron to free me, one way or the other. I have a preference, but the bottom line is, will I be free? And as reward, well, I'll offer you the same thing I offered the previous band of adventurers. I have it in my power to grant one wish a year.
Hmm.
I will give you my wish.
How big a wish?
Well, that depends on what you ask for. The forces of the universe tend to be quite literal with wishes, and sometimes bend them in ways that aren't appreciated by the recipients. I do not judge. I simply grant what is asked for. You could ask that everyone forgets a deity if you wished.
I don't think we need to do that.
It's happened before.
What?
Oh, never mind. You wouldn't know.
Well.
Hmm.
What are we waiting for?
I need to pack clean socks.
And a parka. It's in the mountains.
It's not underwater, right?
Oh, no. Zikrin is a water genasi, but the only water you're going to encounter there is frozen.
So I probably don't need to take the wetsuit.
I won't tell you what you should or should not bring. I'm happy so long as I am freed at the end.
Do you have any suggestions what we should bring besides parka?
Well, Zikrin's main abilities involve elemental magic, summoning beings to do his will. If you have anything that will counter that, that would be useful. I would recommend a very large hammer, or sword, or battle axe. That would be fun.
That would tend to counter people summoning things, yes.
I do notice that one of your members has a bandolier of magic missile wands. Well done.
Thank you.
Do you know there's a flying city made by gnomes where they've weaponized those to the point where it's they refer to it as a Gatling gun.
Huh.
Uses up the charges very fast, but quite effective against red dragons.
Hmm.
Cuts to Monty saying, "It wasn't me. There's more than one red dragon in the world, you know. Wasn't even this world." Cut back to.
Hmm. Well, I guess I'd better get a parka.
I am not going to require you to purchase and add cold weather gear to your inventories. I'm just going to assume it's there.
What Hobby would probably rather have, honestly, is some kind of magical item of temperature maintenance, but...
Oh, those exist.
Yeah, something to keep, but a reasonably comfy degree of comfitude, if she can afford one.
There's a ring of cold resistance. Rare magical item.
Let's see, how much do the rares cost? It's pinned, isn't it? Yes. 2,500. Inventory. Where's my money? That'd be half the money I've got.
I am looking to see if it requires attunement.
Yeah. I thought I had one attunement slot free, but I seem to have them all filled up, and I don't know which ones are which. I know the flagstone is, but I can't...
Yeah, it looks like one of the recent updates removed the ability to mark something as being attuned.
What? Yep.
Tex has 0 of 3.
Same.
Even though I know that the flagstone and the cloak of protection require attunement.
I know the flagstone requires attunement, and I can't remember what the other one I have, but I don't know what the third one is. One moment, I am being paged.
White zone is for loading and unloading only.
Okay, I'm back.
No, the red zone is for loading and unloading only.
You okay, Beth?
Yep, I'm back.
Do we want to take a proper break since we've been playing for about an hour?
We can.
Whatever.
I'm just suggesting it. I don't need one.
How
sounds
do you
like
feel?
A good idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's take a break while Beth figures out what items she's got attuned.
And
I'm not sure.
I'm wondering.
Can't figure it out.
I'm wondering if they changed the marker for attunement and the old equipment, the marker went away, and I have to find this in the 2024 rules to see if there's an attunement thing for it. But I'll figure that out during the break, maybe. I'm going to press the button.
Okay.
And we're back. And while you were not looking, I preloaded a map. So let's see if I can actually activate it now. Let's see. Let's see if map, this is your cue. This is your cue. There we go.
It seems to have worked.
Okay. So here is the question. Two questions, actually. One, because Ghazra Azam is only able to interact with you as much as Ghazra Azzam is able to interact with anyone. When the book is open, is somebody holding the book open?
Yes.
I can do.
Might I have a suggestion about the book?
Yes.
Could we get a flat board of basically the width of the book and strap it open with, put it open on the board and then put a band, ideally elastic, but I don't know if we have elastic, to hold
fantasy elastic.
It open. Huh?
It's a fantasy rubber band.
Yeah. And that's big enough and, appropriate. And then can we put it in some kind of protective box? Or does
the moment
fact
you
that
put
it
in a box, it counts as closed. You have to be holding the book open.
Well, if it's held open, can it be worn as a by holding it open with bands and whatnot? Can't be worn like as a backpack or on the chest or something?
It can be strapped onto something. There are contraptions meant for holding books. There's customized lecterns and stuff. An Ogmanite takes one of theirs where the stand broke, but the top part was still good. They take the top part off and attach two backpack straps to it and hand it to you.
Seems plausible.
So who's wearing it?
I think, again, that has to be me.
And Cavill might be able to.
Cavill also volunteered before we discussed adjustments. Right. A will also volunteer.
I'm not going to insist on it.
What happens if the book is damaged?
It would take a lot of power to damage the book. It is imbued with a lot of magic right now. It had to be to keep me in place.
Hobby is not saying comments about, oh, that means you're a shield. Hobby is not saying it. Hobby is not saying it. Hobby is keeping their mouth shut. Yeah, we lost the EO.
And EO returns.
The screen
went black.
Yeah.
Ah, we discussed this problem earlier. I don't believe we were recording at the time, but we did discuss this earlier. And for the record, I understand the temptation to use the book as a shield. Rest assured, I won't feel like you're using me as a shield. I hate the darned book. It is definitely not a part of me.
Okay.
If you used me as a shield, it would be incredibly ineffective.
Air elemental.
Well, not just that. I'm a wisp of my former self. Attacks would go right through me because I'm not actually here. I'm in the book.
In that case, if you don't mind the book being something of a shield, perhaps Cavill or A should have the book as, well, something shieldy.
That could work. I am happy to help with anything that leads to my freedom. Now,
as long as it doesn't hurt you.
This is an interesting fortress. It was built to not be flying, but that hasn't stopped others from making things that weren't flying before into flying things later.
The question is, how long do they fly?
Do you know that in the pre-printed adventure that has been heavily adapted for this particular session, it was supposed to be 3 days of travel to get up this mountain, but early on, it was established that you had an organization that could just teleport you places.
Mm-hmm.
Thus avoiding 3 days of travel through rugged mountain conditions and attacks by winged kobolds, according to the adventure script. Why would winged kobolds be attacking you in below freezing weather?
Because they want to die?
From the cold, and therefore they're trying to suicide by attacking Dex?
By living in sub-zero temperatures. They have already made very bad choices. By flying in sub-zero temperatures, they've made it worse.
This sounds like they aren't actually kobolds, but they're some kind of mutant baby white dragon things.
The rules actually stated in this particular adventure that if they did 5 or more points of damage, they could choose to, instead of attacking you, they could be attacking your cold weather gear. And there was a chance that you would arrive here with levels of exhaustion because you had to trudge through the cold with a torn open parka.
Oh no.
But you have
avoided
all this.
See, this is why Hobby wants the warm ring. Hobby has reasons.
You are enjoying the scenic overview, except for the fact that this part of the world is nighttime. But you can see in the dark. You are still enjoying the scenic outlook for the brief distance that you're able to see.
And the sparkly stars.
And
have sparkly stars.
And the double doors that lead to this fortress that's in a rather narrow valley that's just wide enough for this fortress to exist.
Fascinating.
Well,
I will roll a nat 20 on my stealth check and sneak over and examine the doors.
Okay. So this fortress is old, and it's definitely built on a giant scale. Remember, these were cloud giants that built this. So the doors are a good somewhere between 25 to 30 feet tall. The fortress is heavily weathered. It does have what looks like the remnants of a second floor, but the second floor does not go all the way across. It probably did with the bits of stone that are littered around poking out of the snow in various places. It looks like it might have been hit by a tornado at some point, which you didn't know tornadoes happened at the tops of mountains, but apparently something like a tornado did, because these rocks are everywhere and scattered far enough that it's not just that the fortress was crumbling down.
Hmm.
And I see the text, Hobby jumping up and peering through the keyhole. Jumping up to peer through the keyhole isn't going to work because you are short for a tabaxi. You can try climbing up the door to peek through the keyhole.
Well, definitely.
Okay.
Climb, climb, climb.
That would be acrobatics.
I have claws. Yeah, I was looking for my climbing skill and
actually,
not finding it.
You've got an ability that gives you plus 10 to things, if I remember correctly. Like, you've rolled a 1 on something and it said you got an 11. So I'm not going to make you roll. Because the difficulty would be 10.
Acrobatics is a plus 10.
Yes. So I'm not going to make you roll for the 5% chance that you fail this miserably. You can, in fact, just climb up the door and peek through the keyhole. And what you see, I am going to open the door to show you what you see. And I have a description that I can read.
Yay!
Because pre-printed adventure.
That's fun. It's always good with pre-printed adventures.
I have mixed feelings about it because in some ways, oh, this prep is done for you. You don't need to do that. Okay. But also, I like coming up with stuff. And if I come up with it on my own, if I decide on the fly to change it, there's no mental hang-up with me doing that. I'm the one who made it in the first place. When someone else came up with it, it's for our game. I can change as much of it as I want. The devs encourage you to do this. And I still have part of my brain that says somebody else wanted it to be this way instead. That won't work. And I have spent years fighting that. However,
Crash, you should be an editor. I change everything. You have no idea how much stuff I've been changing for on the things that I've been throwing the Sith apprentices at. Anyway, we appear to have ghosts.
I'm a teacher. I rewrite my curriculum every year.
See, it's anyway, like that.
Because I refuse to do anything in my curriculum that says the student should use or praise AI. So I rewrite
excellent.
It every year.
Excellent.
Well, now that I've gotten praise for being a human being, we're moving on.
Yep.
You might say decent human being. No, I just say baseline. Right. So here's the description. The mountainside splits, leaving a natural cleft in the rock. Descending into the cleft, you come to an icy courtyard strewn with rubble. Hardy blue shrubs rise from the frozen ground. Lodged at the far end of the cleft is a keep sized for giants. Only the first floor and part of the second floor remain intact, the higher floors having collapsed long ago. The rubble left from this collapse surrounds what's left of the keep. A 25-foot tall double door made of bleached wood with bronze fittings provides the only entrance at ground level. As you peek through the keyhole, you see two ghosts of cloud giants wandering the hall, the floor of which is made of frost-covered white and green tile. A worn carpet leads from the entrance to a staircase going up and down. Two doors on the west lead to other rooms. Three giant-sized display cases along the east wall hold faded documents.
Hobby will drop down from the keyhole, saunter back,
Hobby,
and say, they didn't spray for ghosts.
So, Hobby, what did you see?
Hobby drops down from the keyhole, saunters over, and says, they didn't spray for ghosts.
There's a spray for that?
There's a spray for it, just about anything, I think.
So you're saying they've got a big ghost problem?
They got a big ghost problem. Two of them, even.
That doesn't sound like a big ghost problem.
They're very big ghosts.
Oh, I parsed that sentence wrong.
No, you parsed that sentence wonderfully.
In any case, do the ghosts look hostile in any way? If not, I say we press forward.
Well, I don't know if they're hostile or not. If we go and interrupt their ghostifying as they meander about in there, they might get hostile?
Well, some ghosts have unfinished business. Some ghosts just continue to reenact the past. Some ghosts can be angered depending on whether or not you do the wrong thing. I recommend not insulting their lineage, their place in the ordning, their lack of face.
I mean, I suppose we could knock and say hello. If we're going to fight them, then we're going to fight them anyway, probably. And if we aren't going to fight them, then talking to them.
Ask permission.
Egg walks up to the door and raises a hand to knock.
Maybe we should have Tex knock.
Oh, yeah. Tex can knock way higher on the door than I can.
Exactly.
Very well. I knock.
There is no answer.
I open the door.
The doors are not locked. They open just fine.
I go inside.
A rolls a 3 on the die for a stealth check, and that turns into a 15.
Very nice. Can I keep the 20 that I rolled earlier?
I will let you keep the 20 that you rolled earlier.
Skulk.
All right, so this room has already been described. It goes back for, 10, 20, 30, 40 feet before it starts to narrow and end at a staircase. You've got 3 display cases over there on the east wall, and on the west wall, the part that is going straight north-south of the west wall happens to have a door in it, and the part that's angled, so it's going northeast and southwest, has a different door. The ghosts are continuing to just sort of meander. You might also notice a line on the map that's rather jagged. That is the edge of the second floor. So as you first come in, you can look up and see sky. But if you go past that line, there will be a roof over your heads.
I can't remember. Is the door to our left on our level or above us?
The doors you can see are on your level.
Okay. Hobby, why don't you go see if the door to our left is locked?
Let's see. Hobby will examine the door, first of all, for traps. How do you do a search for traps anyway? Is it a skill?
Perception.
Ah, good thing I have some.
Usually it's investigation, isn't it?
You know what?
No. I like it being perception. I like it being perception. I want to be perception.
Are you saying that because your investigation is only +6?
Yes.
I could roll investigation.
Cavill gets a 29 with investigation. Hobby gets a 22. With perception.
With perception.
Hobby, I can tell you, you do not see any traps.
Okay. Is there a keyhole I can peer through?
Cavill, you do not see that. You cannot reason any method that someone would have trapped this with a physical trap. Magical trap, it's possible. You can't really just see those. That would be an arcana check.
Yes, I can.
Most likely. Unless you're a high level bard, you can't see that.
Warlock. It's an invocation.
Unless you're a low-level warlock, you can't see that.
It's the detect magic one. I can cast that at will.
Okay, so here's the thing. This whole space is magical. You realize this because the masonry and even the floor tiles are glowing faintly. That's why you don't have to use your night vision in here. The interior is lit.
So I can't see any magical traps past all of the other magic.
You can't find the magic because there's too much magic. Now, it is possible that there is magic that is hidden under the magic. But with your investigation check, you're not noticing any magic underneath the magic.
Peek through the keyhole before opening the door because I am being a cautious rogue.
Okay, you look into room C3. This room is missing its ceiling. You could have actually had Cavill just fly up and peek over the top if you wanted. Stone stone racks along the walls hold giant-sized morning stars. I can speak. Morning stars, shields, war hammers, and helmets. They're a bit too large for Tex to wield. Like, Tex could lift them, but they'd be awkward. They're not heavy. They're awkward. Actually, they're both. because giant-sized. All with icicles hanging from them. The room also contains a padlocked wooden chest in one corner and an enormous wheel-shaped whetstone in another corner, frozen in position. Standing by the wheel is a cloud giant ghost staring blankly into the sky.
Poppy is going to call back softly, "This one's got a ghost, too. Seems to have weapons and a chest in there."
Let's not bother that for now.
Agreed. We're not here to loot the place. We're here to find a troublesome wizard.
Indeed.
That is the most polite description I've heard in a while.
Oh, well.
Well, we have to be polite at first. Otherwise, if we escalate to impolite, then, well.
Hello.
The giants are not acknowledging you. They're just continuing to meander.
Well, let's proceed then.
Is each square a 5 then?
The small squares are 5. The big ones are 10. And we're not currently in combat, so I'm not really caring about how far you move at a time. We'll worry about that if one of you makes an interesting choice.
Hobby's ears are basically kind of flattened back.
So what do you think is more likely? Up or down?
Well, there's not much up.
This is true, but there we could be missing something.
There could be a bunch of balloons tied to the top of the building to make it go flying. I think that's what the plan was.
That's very amusing, but no, the method of flight would be magical in nature, with a variety of enchantments placed around the foundation and the ground underneath.
Well, some magical balloons would certainly be a thing, but if it takes foundational stuff, that means down.
I recommend we go down.
Okay, I'm going to activate a different map now.
Poof. Uh-oh. DM activated his trap card.
It's a map.
He used his map card.
I have done a thing, and I need to rectify the situation. Magpie disappeared.
Yeah, I noticed that.
We must bring back Magpie, or the fans will revolt. Okay. So, as you
Is the diversion.
As you are descending the stairs, a whole bunch of things appear.
Those are concerning.
Oh, that's not good.
What have we got here?
It looks like you've got two water elementals and a bunch of ice methods. As soon as they appear,
Gazra Azam, you is not method.
They're about to, but Gazra Azam booms out, saying, "You there? I am Gazra Azam, nobility from the plane of air. Leave this place at once."
Then does ice and water care about air?
You should really listen to him.
Two of the Mephits disappear.
Well, that's something.
For everyone else, there's initiative.
You have two A's. One of them is underneath Capel.
Oh.
And two
I forgot
Magpies.
I have to roll from my character sheet.
Oh, won't you roll?
I have advantage, and the roller in the combat tractor doesn't take that into account.
Dice So Nice is glitching for me because I went to roll for a method, and somebody rolled some very nice shiny D20s, and I ended up clicking on the D20 instead.
Whoops.
Sorry.
And I am not going to say that Cavill rolled 100 on initiative.
No,
because I've learned
21.
That lesson from last time.
I have 100 hit points.
Also, apparently there is a Magpie the Crow here because Magpie is in the initiative order twice.
I noted that.
Oops.
Well, I'm okay with this. This is fine. Gazra Azam, I can say words. Some of them are correct. Motions ineffectually because trapped in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their turn. Oh my gosh, that D20. Look at the size of the D20 icon saying it's Gazra Azam's turn.
Well, Gazra's a big djinn.
I'm told I'm big boned.
Do you even have bones?
Not in this form.
Exactly.
Okay, now it's Cavil's turn.
Well, seeing as you all seem to be hostile, Cavil fiddles with their microphone, which emits
a destructive wave. Somewhere in an undisclosed location, Mo goes and covers his ears. And afterwards says, that didn't do anything. I should have known better. It's all in my head and in a distant mountain range. It's in my head and in a distant mountain range.
And the lovely thing about this is that it's only creatures I choose.
Nice.
For everyone else, it's simply very loud.
There's reason Hobby kept her ears folded back.
So we're not doing the stealth thing then?
We might.
If in all the methods... No.
That's a nat 20 for the method.
For that method.
You're rolling these in view, just so you know.
Yeah.
That's two nat 20s. The criff?
Oh, that's that a nat 1.
And that's a nat 1. Okay, that'll do.
And the last one is this air elemental.
Water elemental.
Well, yeah. All right. So, two failed, three succeeded. What's the damage?
I need to try to make it not roll all of the... It wants to try to roll 15d6 instead of 10d6. That's not great.
5d6 thunder damage, as well as 5d6 either radiant or necrotic.
Yeah, and it's trying to roll 5d6 radiant and necrotic, and that's not...
Someone needed to put an or in this.
Well, radiant and necrotic are both going to damage them the same amount, so just add up the dice and roll.
Okay. I am, in this case, picking radiant.
Okay. That's 31 points of damage, which means...
And the ones that failed their saves are knocked prone. Which means
not knocked
the
prone.
Melee attacks will have... Oh, method immune. Okay.
The one that crit failed might ought to...
Well, no, the ones that made their save are not knocked prone.
Right, so those ones
two methods made their save. This one is not knocked prone because it goes boom.
Oh.
It took lethal damage. It only had 21 hit points.
Oops. Which one's that? The one next to Tex?
Yes.
How many people have to roll the save?
I need to not click on death first again and actually click to see what it does. When the mephit dies, it explodes in a burst of jagged ice. Each creature within 5 feet of it must make a DC 10 dexterity saving throw, taking 4 1d8 slashing damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful one.
Does this include the mephit that's next to it and the two water elementals?
Well, here's the thing. Mephits are immune to cold damage, but it doesn't say cold. It says slashing.
Mm-hmm.
So...
presumably, it's burst into icicles. Oh, ouch. Well, that one's fine.
Okay. Oh, hey, 8 damage. The max.
Did any of them save?
Only one failed.
Did the one that failed lose sufficient that it's going to do the same thing?
No.
Okay.
I did not need to make a dexterity save, but I made a very good dexterity save anyway.
You instinctively flinch as the mephit goes boom.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you applied the damage to the others, or they all made the save?
I have to apply damage to the water elementals as well for Cavil's thing, because I was still applying damage when one of them died. And the water elemental is immune to being knocked prone and did not take lethal damage. So it's just going to chill there. Thank you. I'm here all week. Cavil, do you do anything else?
I, that
counter still doesn't work for some reason. I give a bardic inspiration to Tex. Apparently exploding methods are inspiring.
It's like the 4th of July. A curls up and hides because the loud noises scare them.
Oh.
Okay. Next up is Magpie the Crow with the largest change in size between the icon used for Magpie the Crow and the D20 that says it's Magpie's turn.
Magpie disengages and
goes upstairs.
Flies. Does not fly all the way upstairs, but flies back and up a bit.
Okay. It is a water elemental's turn. It is closest to Tex, so it is going to attack Tex. I'm sorry, Tex, but you're going to have to tank this.
Oh, no.
It has multi-attack. It uses two slam attacks. The first attack is an 11. The second attack is a 15. I'm not going to ask you if those hit. It's going to roll the damage.
Ouch.
Did that actually hit you?
Surely they have grievously wounded me.
Oh, no.
I believe I may die.
Well, I guess they should leave then. They've done their job.
Yes.
Can give you me a performance talk? Check. At disadvantage because it's a tough audience.
Was that the disadvantage? Or was it,
the lowest roll was a dirty 20. The remaining combatants believe that you have taken a lethal injury and they're turning to face the rest of the group.
Oh, no.
However, it's Tex's turn. Tex might just dissuade them from this.
You will have advantage against the prone water elemental, assuming water elementals can be prone.
They're immune to being prone.
You
can't knock the water down.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is the prone from Cavill's ability or from the...
From the spell that Cavill used.
No, it's destructive wave. Okay. I was making sure that I wasn't prone.
No. No, you're fine.
Unless you and Cavill had a disagreement that none of us knew about. And this is for snoring. You don't even sleep. Why do you keep playing that MP3 at night? With the bass turned up all the way. Chainbreaker.
That one.
Your arm falls off.
Yes.
Give yourself a luck point.
Mm.
I am going to have used the luck point to increase that to 2. Or increase it to 12. That brings me to 4.
I see what you've done there. Well played.
Remind me what the luck point thing is.
What do you mean?
Adds on a 1-to-1 basis. Use 3 of them to reroll.
Yeah, and by gaining a luck point, Tex had 5 luck points, and when you get 5 luck points, you have to roll a d4, and that's your new
and
number.
And reset
of
my
points.
Total. That's my new total. Yeah.
Couldn't you reroll the nat 1 instead?
You can't reroll a luck point that you've just gained. Well, you can't use a luck point you just gained.
I could have rerolled the natural one, but at this point, I am not going to undo all of this in order to...
Well, here's the thing. You were at 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
You were at 4 without adding 3. 1, so at rerolling would have been 3, so your luck points would be exactly what they are now.
Unless I failed, in which case... I would have gotten another one.
Just roll your attack. Just roll your attack, Ellie.
I did. It's a 22.
Ah, that's going to wing it. Which one are you hitting?
The one I have targeted, which is the...
I see the little green
dot.
The
one closer to the group.
The little green dot, which is next to the little blue dot on which everyone you've ever known lives.
Aww.
It's Horton hears a who, but it's Tex. Here's a water elemental.
Splash.
Roll your damage.
Talk about splash damage.
And you're using a goading attack.
Yes.
That's wisdom saving throw. Water is not known for being wise. It
especially when they roll 4.
It is goaded. It is goaded and going to take 15 points of splash damage. From Chamber. All right. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I miss the old D&D 5e plugin where it told you what actions you had available.
Yeah.
It is the Mephit's turn. It is going to take a swing at Hobby.
Me?
Why not? You're right there.
But I haven't done anything. Okay, that's fine.
Well, it was summoned with the order to attack any intruders. You are an intruder. And that rolled damage for the attack instead of rolling the attack. So let's try that again. Does a 14 hit you?
If my AC is in the little shield that is underneath my
icon
here...
your AC is 20.
Here,
you do not...
Yeah.
It goes to take a swing at you. You don't need to dodge. It just doesn't hit you.
I sway backwards slightly.
It's fighting way above its bracket. It is now the water elemental's turn. Well, one of them anyway. This one was going to believe that you'd taken lethal damage. It was swayed. But then you goaded its compatriot. So it's going to take two swings at you. And the 10 definitely whiffs. But the second attack is a 25.
That will actually hit me.
Okay. Let's roll.
You know
that
what? I'm going to do something that I didn't get a chance to do last session. If I could find it.
Uncanny dodge.
That was not what I intended to put in the chat, but I'm using the adamantine inertial damage.
Okay. Which boosts up your AC so the 25 doesn't hit.
Yes.
Because your AC was already 25, so it takes you to 30.
Indeed.
You could go up against a Tarrasque and have it miss you.
Once. Well, three times.
Once, twice, three times it missed you.
And then we ran away.
And then it picked you up and crunched your head off. Because Tarrasque.
I don't get to have a glitch.
Get to. That's a word.
Nope, you rolled a 3, not a 1. So yeah, no glitch. It is A's turn. A shakes violently until... No, not you. Also, there was a Mephit directly underneath you. I'm moving that Mephit around. There we go.
I moved first.
I
was there when the Mephits appeared.
Do not speak to me of the Mephits. I was there when they appeared. A is going to use their psychic blades. I am first double checking to make sure Mephits are not immune to psychic attacks, because that would be fun. I've forgotten before. And realized that after I applied damage, I won't tell you which ones. But people who were paying attention and knew monster stat blocks would know. Okay, with those in chat. Okay, nice. That's an 11 and a 22. Guess what? The Ice Mephit's AC is 11. Those both hit.
Excellent.
So we're gonna damage and damage. Apply. And everyone within 5 feet of this Mephit right here needs to roll a dexterity saving throw. If you succeed, you take 2 points of damage. Cavalier, you need to make a dexterity saving throw. There's a Mephit going poof right next to you.
Well, I was very good at that last time.
You also make the saving throw. So you take 2 points of damage.
I've got wet in my fur. It's melting.
Actually, hold on. I didn't roll a save for this Mephit because it was hiding underneath Tex.
Uh-huh.
What kind of save was that for Cavil's spell?
Constitution. I mean, obviously it's hiding from...
Oh, that's a 1.
That's a 1.
I'm not going to go through the whole explosion thing again. I'm just going to say it just went poof.
It very hastily reconsidered whether it wanted to be there or not.
I might not do that if the recording wasn't already approaching the 2-hour mark. We're not there yet, but it's approaching. But at this point of the evening, I'm going to say it just goes poof. Also, it's cannon fodder. Mephits are cannon fodder in this particular case. They're there to explode.
But we don't have a cannon.
One will be provided later.
Ooh.
Okay. Hobby, it is your turn. There is a target-rich environment that's a little less rich than it used to be.
So there is. Well, somehow I don't think I should be using my Ray of Frost.
I mean, you could if you really wanted to. I wouldn't stop you.
I'm not going to be playing Tickle You Mephit.
I would request that you don't. That's disturbing on many levels. some of which I would have to give you a half hour lecture to explain why it was disturbing.
Therefore, let's see if we can do some splash damage. Okay, where's my attacks? Let's see. Is this one on the correct? I think I did this one the correct one now. Yep. Do I get to do a sneak attack?
Everything is actively engaged.
Well, I think a 24 is likely to hit.
Yes.
So let's. I don't have a way to do damage with. Oh, there it is. Damage. Normal. So that's 10 for that. And then I need to do.
Now, who are you attacking? The Mephit or the air elemental?
It's the water elemental. It's not air elemental. You said they're water. Splash damage.
Okay. I have applied the 10 damage.
And somewhere I have a sneak attack. There's my sneak attack. And.
That is 6d6. And I will apply the 21 points of stabby damage. It's bloodied now.
Oh, sure. Let's do a smite. Go to my spells and pick one. See, damage and use. Use. First level. And one. Divine smite.
Okay. It is not letting me click to apply that damage. So I'm going to have to do math.
You click on its hit points and do minus 16.
I know, but I'm going to be dramatic about it.
Okay.
It is my right as a GM.
As a GM.
Okay.
To be drama.
That's what the D stands for, DM. Drama Master.
Headcanon accepted.
Oh, right. It's legally distinct from Dungeon Master.
I don't think I am going to bother doing any kind of disengages at the moment. I'm between it and Cavil, and that's where I'd rather be.
Okay. Next up is the last remaining ice method, which would question its life choices, but it's not intelligent enough to do that.
It rolled a 3.
Which brings it to a 6. It does not hit you. Okay. That's the
Hobby
end.
Flicks her tail at it insultingly.
That's the end of the round. We go back up to Ghazra Azam, who billows, "Perhaps you did not hear me the first time. That is foolish of you to ignore me. I will speak louder and slower and enunciate better so your puny brains can understand. I am Ghazra Azam, and you will leave this plane of reality one way or the other. Choose the way that uses less pain." This water elemental disappears.
Oh, so does Eo.
So does Eo.
I did not
Eo,
delete
however,
Eo.
Returns.
I did not select Eo's character and delete Eo. Eo is still there. Eo just disappeared from the chat and came back. It's not the same. But you just made me panic and think that I deleted Eo off the map. And I was going, I don't remember what Eo's initiative was. I can't add them back in the same spot. I'm going to keep thinking their initiative is 100. That's what I joked that I knew it wasn't.
It is a 98.
No, that's hit points.
Oh. Oh, well.
You fell for my classic blunder. Which was gambling with Sicilian when death is on the line. And getting involved in a land war in Asia.
21.14.
Regardless, Eo is back.
Sorry, I'm having a little bit of trouble with the Discord.
Understandable. However, you came back just in time, because after Ghazra effectively cast Banishment on a water elemental, it is your turn.
Excellent.
Only two opponents remain, and both are bloodied.
And one explodes. The other one
yes.
might explode.
But it's that you hit me with a slush ball type of damage, as opposed to, mortally wounded damage.
Yes, but I left my slush repellent suit at home.
Technically, it's shards of ice. It's slashing damage. Which also means your ring of warmth that you purchased doesn't protect you from it, because it's slashing damage, not cold damage.
Exactly. But presumably it melts once it gets into my fur.
Oh, no, the shards slide right through you. That's why you're taking damage from it.
But they don't stick.
There are holes in your parka.
But I'm not wearing a parka. I'm wearing leather armor.
Anyway, let's see.
You break a wand of magic missiles to do damage in an AoE attack, destroying all of your opponents. This is not what you
No.
I cast it at 6th level, draining one of my wands to one charge left, which is the safe zone where it does not potentially break. And let me count how many darts that is. That is 8 darts.
Who are you hitting, the method or the water elemental?
Well, I could do some damage to both. And
that's right, that's how magic missile works.
Do math. Has the method taken damage yet? Yes, the method took damage from me. I damaged the method. Okay, sorry, I need to do the math again. 3 initially, then every slot above, so that's 6. So there are 9 missiles. So I am going to devote 3 missiles to the method and 6 missiles to the water elemental, which means method will take 9, water elemental will take 18. Yay! I hoped that would explode the method.
Those are words that came out of your mouth. I want everyone to know those words came out of your mouth.
Dirty 20. I rolled an 8.
The water elemental got a 6. 1 point of damage.
Do I take half of a point of damage?
You have to round up. Usually it's minimum 1. When usually it's round down, but if it's only 1 point at the end of it, you can't take half a point, so it's minimum 1 point.
Ooh, a splinter. Ooh.
Right. Poof. All right. Magpie the Crow's turn. Magpie, do you want to go in and keel steel?
Given that it can't make attacks, no.
Okay. It's the water elemental's turn. If I recall correctly, it's goaded.
Did it take a point of damage?
It did.
Yep.
And it is goaded. So it is going to try to welcome Tex to the slam. That is a 25 to hit. And an 8.
It still isn't my turn, so it misses.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
Your AC is currently...
you still have an AC of 30. So it is 100% ineffective. Okay. Tex, it is now your turn. Your AC is back down to a healthy 25. You retroactively take damage from a slam. You do not.
No.
That is not how any of this works.
I will, however, return the favor.
Chainbreaker attacks again. Oh, because you had the water elemental targeted, it color-coded your roll to green to say that you hit it. Because its AC is 14 and you rolled a 17. And
only to the GM.
For that second attack, would you like a luck point or would you like to spend a luck point?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll spend the luck point.
Okay. Roll your damage twice then. That's 17 points of damage. Is that both attacks?
Yes.
Okay. With the 17 points of damage total, the water elemental is dispelled and leaves this plane as a puddle.
Oh, good. It doesn't do parting splash damage.
Water elemental.
I am tired of these water elementals on this plane.
Technically, it's a bunch of stairs. It's like a bunch of plateaus, not a plane. Also, watch your step. This stuff freezes quickly.
I noticed.
Look for one of those little yellow sign things.
And it's wet. It's wet.
Okay. And as you come down to the bottom of the stairs, which, by the way, the stairs are difficult terrain because they're giant-sized.
Figures.
You weren't moving around that much during combat, so it didn't come up. But the stairs are difficult terrain. At the bottom of the stairs, you see a very large basement, and I get to read another description.
Woo.
This high-vaulted basement room is full of equipment Well, it's similar to what you would have seen if you had done the first half of this, but the different band of adventurers who made poor choices did that part. There is a bed, a chair, and a table sized for a person of human stature occupying one corner of the room. Stone tables arranged about the chamber are covered with half-finished machines, and a large dais built into the far side of the room holds a cannon. I told you one would be provided later. Mounted on a swivel. Yes, I wasn't just joking. I was also serious. A dull blue glow emanates from the inside of the cannon's barrel. This is usually a bad sign. In the middle of the room is a glimmering white crystal. 8 feet tall and 4 feet wide, it pulses with arcane and elemental energy, filling the room with whipping winds and biting cold. Standing next to the crystal is a water genasi with turquoise skin and blue robes. He is guarded by a water elemental and an air elemental. Congratulations, you have found Zikrin, and he is not happy to see you.
He looks like someone who would chew the scenery.
He's happy to make you be part of the scenery. Also, like marvel the at these little effects that got added into the map. That
yes,
wasn't
I was
me.
Marveling.
That wasn't me who did that. That was his username on Patreon is Mr. Primate. He's the guy who does the D&D Beyond Importer.
Ah.
So he's the one responsible for this particular map getting its special things that are added to it. I should have added snow for the first floor, but whatever.
Oh, well.
Anyway, this is where we're going to end it for tonight, because I am not doing another round of combat. And this is as good a cliffhanger as any. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Yep. Thank you, everyone, for playing. I am Crash, and I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including we've got EO, we've got Ellie, and we've got Beth, and we've got Crash.
EO. Because the Discord seems to think that you shouldn't have EO.
Discord doesn't have EO. We keep telling Discord that they should have EO, and Discord says we have EO at home. And we say, yes, that's where EO is right now. But also, EO should be on Discord. And Discord says, no, you don't understand. Regardless, who wants to plug a thing?
EO's mom writes books at ElizabethMcCoy.com. They're ebooks. Ask your local library to pick up one that you think looks good. Buy them on Smashwords. Buy them on Nook and Kobo. And, I mean, you can buy them on the Zahn Empire, but, you know, if you want, they're there too. For now, at least. I'm still dithering about that. And speaking of things that are probably not being dithered about.
Look. Dithering is important, especially if these lines have angles on them. Makes them look like they're straighter, not jagged edges. You can tell by the pixels.
Yeah.
But also, AaronBSmith.com is where I put all this stuff. It's where I have links to our presence on the Fediverse, etc., etc., etc. All the podcasts, all their RSS feeds, they're all there. Also, links to our Patreon, patreon.com/CogwheelGaming, where you can help us keep the lights on, along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshan, Walter, Liv Droman, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash saying, what are you doing here? Anyway, I suppose I can test the cannon out now. Good night, everybody.
Good night.